Corbin Middlemass here. What's going on with the cricket? Well, that's what the ABC Cricket Podcast is for, with me and my sparring partner, Ed Cowan. Who's been selected?
He got another 100 during the week.
Who's been rejected?
So obviously, if he's not fit enough.
And who has the best grade cricket salad roll?
What was the key? The quality of the cheese or the bun?
Bun was always fresh, or the salad inside nice and soft.
Search for the ABC Cricket Podcast on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Northern Territory tourism icon Matt Wright is in prison, sentenced to 10 months jail for his attempts to interfere with an investigation into a fatal helicopter crash. I'm Stephen Stockwell. Welcome to the case of the Croc Wrangler.
He's one of the Territory's biggest stars.
Flashing cameras and waiting reporters as Netflix star Matt Wright fronted court.
The Territory tourism operator is facing three counts of attempting to pervert the course of justice.
This was a tragic event that took the life of the crocodile egg collector.
Mr. Wright strenuously denies any wrongdoing.
In August, Matt Wright was found guilty of two counts of attempting to pervert the course of justice. We followed his whole trial on this podcast, and on Friday, his sentence for those crimes was handed down. There through all of this has been ABC Darwin Court reporter Olivana Lathouris. Ollie, welcome back to the pod.
Thank you so much for having me back, Stocky.
And as well as Ollie, we have senior reporter Matt Garrick also returning to the pod. Looking forward to your scathing insights, Matt. Welcome.
Thank you, Stocky, and it's great to hear your voice again too.
Oh, look, yours is the real treat. And I mean, what we've seen over the last week has been, you know, a really significant moment in the trial of Matt Wright, in the, you know, the penalty basically for, you know, his role in attempting to interfere with an investigation following an accident during a crocodile egg collecting mission. You know, there were men hanging below a helicopter collecting crocodile eggs. There was a crash that resulted in the death of Chris Wilson and severely injured Sebastian Robinson, the pilot. Now, Matt Wright has not been sentenced for the cause of the crash. That was never, you know, a question about whether he was involved in that. He's not been responsible for that crash. Instead, it's for his actions afterwards. He was found to have attempted to pervert the course of justice on two counts, sentenced to 10 months in prison. Ollie, is that where he is at the moment?
That's right, Stocky. Yeah, as we sit here today talking, Matt Wright, this territory icon, this person that, you know, many Territorians and Australians and even people around the world have associated with being this, real icon of, you know, the wild outback of the Northern Territory, is sitting in a jail cell. He was sentenced to 10 months, suspended after five. So, in essence, a 5-month jail term. And also he was ordered to pay a $5,000 fine.
Throughout this whole process, Ollie, we've talked about the kind of the large group of supporters that have followed Matt Wright into court each day, watched these proceedings. Also, you know, the families of Chris Wilson, who died as a result of the helicopter crash, and Sebastian Robinson, who was really badly injured. I was watching the stream on Friday as this was handed down, a packed courtroom in the Darwin Supreme Court. What was the reaction as Matt Wright was sentenced to jail time?
It was such a tense moment. I think a lot of us were expecting it to happen quite quickly. We had been sitting in court. Everyone had been sitting in court for several hours by that point. The sentencing hearing had started that morning. But by the time we actually got to the sentence being handed down, it was well into the afternoon, late in the afternoon. It was almost as though the tension for that moment had been building and building. And for those who might not have watched a sentencing before, what happens is the judge will give their comments first. It's not as though the judge just comes in, hands down the sentence, and then makes comments. The judge will make a whole series of comments first, and the actual sentence is the last thing that they say. So, you know, as Acting Justice Blow spoke, it was the tension was just building and building. And of course, you're trying to sort of piece together what he's saying to get a bit of a sense of what the sentence might be. And then when that sentence was handed down, you could honestly hear a pin drop. It was so quiet in the courtroom, despite it being so packed. You had a very large group of supporters there for Sebastian Robinson, and of course, an almost even bigger pack of people there for Matt Wright, you know, on different sides of the courtroom. And when that sentence was handed down, when the judge said that Matt Wright was going to go to jail, there were no gasps, there were no cries. It was just, it was almost silent. Everyone was very restrained, and I think Matt Wright just sort of, you know, slumped back in his chair a little bit, or, you know, we were all trying to look around the room to see what all the different reactions were, but it was, it was a very quiet moment.
Yeah, it took a long time to get to that moment too, as well, as you mentioned, Ollie. I mean, I was kind of initially given an indication that this would take about half an hour, and then after about an hour of sentencing submissions, not even getting kind of halfway through that process, kind of realizing this is going to take a lot longer. And, you know, this sentence was handed down in the afternoon in the Northern Territory, but where I am in Victoria, I was watching, it was 6 p.m. in the evening here on a Friday evening, as there were Christmas parties happening around the ABC building. I'm sitting there watching the sentencing of Matt Wright. Matt Garrick, I mean, we've talked a bit about Matt Wright's kind of position as a tourism icon in the Northern Territory. He's one of the Northern Territory's most well-known people. I mean, is this something that sort of dethrones him, or is his fall started kind of well before this moment?
Well, Stocky, as you say, Matt Wright had a lot to lose. Over many years, he'd built up a tourism and television empire. He had shows on Netflix. He had a show with National Geographic. And then at this point in time, he's sitting in a jail cell. So what a fall from the absolute pinnacle of Northern Territory cultural life to now be sitting in a prison cell over Christmas in the hottest period of the Northern Territory year. It's huge, and at very least, it's severe reputational damage. At the most, his career in the Northern Territory and his standing as this upstanding person who we heard through the judge's commentary towards the end has donated to charity, is involved in various causes. Well, I'm not sure how much that counts for after he's been sentenced to jail for these pretty significant crimes. At least that count too, where the judge found that he had no remorse and he displayed callousness in going to Sebastian Robinson's hospital room and pressuring him to doctor flight helicopter documents, as we've talked about in great detail in this podcast in the past. So, Stocky, I think Matt Wright, if he's to rebuild that reputation in the Northern Territory, it's going to be a very long road.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you're just joining us for your first kind of experience of the case of the Croc Wrangler, I'd recommend going back and listening to some of the other episodes of this series so you can understand how we've ended up in this position. And I mean, Matt, you know, you're talking there about how serious this charge is. And that was a real feature of the kind of prosecution statements. You know, before the judge makes his decision on the sentence, you know, we hear from both the prosecution and the defense kind of outlining in the prosecution's case the reason that Matt Wright should face a harsh sentence, and then from the defense side, reasons that, you know, he should have a lesser sentence because of other work he's doing, other kind of mitigating factors, basically. And, you know, there's two charges that we're talking about here. The first one relates to lying to police about whether or not Matt Wright saw fuel in the fuel tank of the helicopter after it crashed. And it was found that he'd lied to police in a conversation where he said he saw fuel in the tank. And the second one, Matt, as you mentioned there, is around kind of pushing Sebastian Robinson to alter documents after the crash. I mean, Ollie, what were the kind of the main points or the main bend of the prosecution kind of sentencing submissions?
Yeah, I suppose the prosecution were really from the outset, you know, painting Matt Wright's offending as very serious. The Crown Prosecutor, Jason Galacci, drew a distinction between the two charges. Obviously, that first count relates to a lie that Matt Wright told during a recorded police interview just 4 days after that tragic helicopter accident. The second charge, which Matt alluded to just earlier, is more to do with his conduct in the months after the accident, going to the hospital, visiting the pilot at his bedside and trying to convince him or asking him to doctor flight records. And the prosecution said that there was a marked difference between those two counts. They specifically focused a lot on that second count and drew the attention to the seriousness of that conduct. But it was sort of clear from the outset that they were pushing for jail time. They said that this was, you know, serious offending. We know that attempting to pervert the course of justice, which was the charge that Matt Wright was facing, is a serious charge. It carries a maximum penalty of 15 years behind bars. And so, the prosecution was really pushing hard for Matt Wright to receive a term of actual imprisonment.
Yeah. Jason Galacci, SC, kind of repeatedly said, we're calling for a term of immediate imprisonment, kind of really underlining that fact, to the point where, you know, he presented Justice Alan Blow, who's presided over this case, with a spreadsheet of comparable sentences, kind of going, look here, we've done some homework for you. Have a look at this. This is what, you know, we've got in other cases. So really kind of pretty keen to see Matt Wright, you know, behind bars and maybe even kind of sensing that that might be a kind of a harder sell in a point like this as well, because, you know, we heard from the defense that there were, you know, kind of, they presented a number of mitigating factors and some really, you know, what Justice Blow described as strong character references as well, right?
I think acting Justice Blow said it was, they were the strongest character references he'd seen in 50 years on the bench as a judge. So it was quite significant. And also, I know Ollie went on a deep dive into some of those character references for a follow-up story, but there were some very high-profile people who gave character references. The one standing out to me was a famous Golden Guitar winning country musician Lee Kernaghan had given Matt Wright a glowing character reference. So there was obviously, you know, the who's who in the business community of the Northern Territory as well. So very significant people coming forward to say Matt Wright should not go to prison.
Yeah, the character references were really interesting to look into. And, you know, it wasn't until I really read them that, you know, Acting Justice Blow's comments make sense. They were sparkling character references. They all talked about how devoted Matt Wright is as a father, his generosity in the community. We heard that Matt Wright had donated well over $100,000 since 2018 to various different community and charitable causes. You know, the list just sort of goes on and on. And the defense really pointed to, you know, the service that Matt Wright has done to the community and in particular the tourism industry in the Northern Territory. And that was actually quite, not just about his character, but that was actually sort of a very material part of their argument about why Matt Wright should not go to prison, because they said, well, by putting him behind bars, you're essentially damaging his business, which has contributed and continues to contribute all this money to the Northern Territory tourism industry.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess the kind of financial contributions that he makes to the NT are kind of interesting, or that his businesses, I should say, make to the Northern Territory are interesting, because, you know, the defence barristers also outlined this kind of, you know, this downfall of his businesses as well. He's struggling financially as well. Did they say he was close to financial ruin?
They did. I think the term was teetering on the brink of financial ruin, Stocky. You know, Matt Wright has been through years of litigation, which we know, especially when you're dealing with, you know, expensive barristers and a Supreme Court case, which has dragged on for a very long time. That's expensive. And as Matt was saying earlier, I don't think there's any doubt that this saga ever since the accident has really put a dent in Matt Wright's ability to continue on his various, you know, other ventures and continue sort of making money, I suppose.
I note that there is a, Matt Wright has an office, a tourism office in downtown Darwin. For years, it's had his face branded on the side of it. In recent months, that has been replaced by different decals. So there's obviously some sort of move going on within the business to be like, well, let's try and stay afloat, but remove Matt from being the face of it, at current at least.
And the other interesting thing about this is that that was mentioned was the fact that he doesn't have, he's lost his helicopter license and also his air operating certificate. And that's really significant because a lot of his businesses did rely on these sort of heli tours. Like that was a really critical part of his business. And he's not been allowed to do any of that since these charges.
And even if he was, some of the really significant evidence that came out during this trial, which I must say Matt Wright wasn't charged over, was to do with safety breaches and maintenance breaches within his company, which Acting Justice Blow on the day of sentencing said were unlawful. Although Matt Wright hasn't been charged or wasn't on trial for it, you know, there's a lot of questions that remain about his operation of those helicopters in his company.
Mm, yeah. And as well as the kind of commercial side of all of this, there's also, you know, developments in Matt Wright's personal life. Ollie, in our last episode, we were talking about how Matt Wright's wife, Kaya, is pregnant with their third child. She's expected to give birth, I think it was in April. We heard about a bit about this during some of the sentencing submissions from the defense. Does this jail term mean that Matt Wright will miss the birth of his third child?
Well, Stocky, 5 months from the sentencing date of December 12 is May 12, and Kaya is due in April. That's what we heard in court. So on that timeline, he could very well miss the birth of his third child.
Mm, yeah. When Justice Alan Blow was handing down the sentence to Matt Wright, you know, he listens to the submissions, you know, both defense and prosecution submissions before making his decision. And, you know, when he was handing that down, he talked to, you know, what he'd weighed up. You know, the character references were one point, but also, you know, Matt Wright was given a discount for, you know, kind of concessions he made at the start of trial that shortened the length of the trial quite dramatically. Is that right?
I mean, there was a time there, Stocky, where we thought this trial was going to go for months. You know, there was a lot in contention between the parties. And so this sort of this process where the defense and the prosecution can come to an agreement on various issues or facts in question, it can really, you know, cut down the length of this trial. And of course, it only ended up being, 4 to 5 weeks, which of course is still significant. But the judge did acknowledge that Matt Wright made a number of concessions. He didn't specify what those were, but that significantly reduced the amount of time that we needed to spend in court. And that is something that the courts, do take into consideration and do offer concessions for.
Mm, yeah. Justice Blow also made some kind of findings of fact in his ruling as well. One of them was that the helicopter didn't run out of fuel. Now, that runs counter to the findings of the Australian Transport Safety Bureau that investigated this crash, which found that it did run out of fuel. And as well as that, he also said that Tim Johnston and Jai Tomlinson, these are two friends of Matt Wright's who gave evidence during the trial, were, I don't remember the exact words, but I feel like it was along the lines of,
they spectacularly were unreliable, Stocky, I believe was the wording.
Language that you do not expect to hear from a judge when describing people giving evidence. Was that something that surprised you, hearing that?
I mean, look, I don't think it surprised anyone, if you want me to be honest. I think, you know, it was plain from the evidence of Jai Tomlinson and Tim Johnston that there were some questions around the reliability of those two individuals. You know, the prosecution during their evidence repeatedly asked them whether they were willing to lie or perjure themselves. I mean, that's, you know, the kind of language that was being thrown around during their evidence. So I don't think it was a surprise when Acting Justice Blow described them as being spectacularly unreliable.
But it's interesting, isn't it, to have basically what it all came down to. In a legal framework, you heard the witnesses give that, what we've heard described as spectacularly unreliable evidence. We heard that happen. But when it comes down to the sentencing and Matt Wright's livelihood is on the line and he's got two witnesses, I think the other one was Seb Robinson's girlfriend, who were essentially telling the same story in a different way, but one was unreliable and the other was believed, then, you know, that could be the difference between Matt Wright going to jail and not.
Mm. And I mean, when somebody's giving evidence in a courtroom, they're promising that they're going to tell the truth in those situations. And that's something that, you know, if they purge themselves, that's when they're kind of basically lying to the court or behaving in a way that isn't in line with what the court expects. And I mean, Ollie, there are penalties for that. Is that something that, you know, Tim Johnston or Jai Tomlinson could be charged over?
This is actually something that I put a request in to the Director of Public Prosecutions about. They came back to me and said they weren't able to comment on those matters. But as you say, you take an oath or swear an oath when you give evidence in court, and you are under a legal obligation to tell the truth. And if it's found that you have lied, then yes, you are liable for potential perjury charges.
Matt Garrick, I know you've been looking into the helicopter industry in the Northern Territory. I mean, is the finding from Justice Blow that that helicopter didn't run out of fuel significant in any way in relation to some of the work that you've been doing?
Well, I think a lot of the findings that Acting Justice Blow spoke about during his sentencing was hugely significant to the entire industry. I think the entire case has been largely a wake-up call to the industry to see that these type of safety breaches, maintenance breaches that Matt Wright was found to have unlawfully committed, even if he wasn't on trial for, can lead to very harsh penalties. And in an extreme case like Matt Wright's, it can lead to jail time. So yes, the fuel tank situation was very interesting. Also, the fact that Matt Wright's lie that he made in that police interview was not seen as such a serious offence. It was a $5,000 fine. Obviously, Justice Blow did see the merit in fining him. But one line that came out of the sentencing of Justice Blow, he said, "It is my view you lied to protect a mate." So he essentially lied, the court found, Justice Blow ruled, to protect Sebastian Robinson, who had been flying the helicopter at the time of that crash. Well, isn't it interesting when you then couple that with count two, which was essentially him pressuring Sebastian Robinson, who he described as a catastrophically injured man, a man who had been left paraplegic by that crash, to change those flight documents. So this all comes back to helicopter safety and helicopter breaches. It's never been alleged that Matt Wright caused that crash that killed Chris Wilson and left Sebastian Robinson as a paraplegic. But certainly, it's hugely relevant. Everything Justice Blow said around the fuel, around Hobbs meters, around his reasons for the charges, this is going to have huge flow-on effects for the helicopter industry in the north.
Mm. And I might just add one of the other facts that was that the judge made a specific ruling on. He said that it was highly likely that the helicopter, that is IDW, the helicopter that was involved in that accident, that was operated by Matt Wright's company, had exceeded the maximum number of flying hours before requiring that really expensive sort of maintenance overhaul. So that was just another sort of fact that the judge did make a finding on in his sentence.
Yeah, and Ollie, you know, the jail term that Matt Wright has been sentenced to is in relation to the second charge, you know, kind of pressuring Sebastian Robinson to change those documents. The first charge, which was lying to police basically, was a $5,000 fine.
Well, it's certainly an interesting comparison when you are thinking about a charge that carries a maximum of 15 years behind bars. So certainly the judge did draw a very big distinction between that first count, that lie that Matt Wright told to police, and that second count about his visits to the pilot. I mean, the judge, again, made this finding of fact about that lie that he told in that recorded interview. He said that Matt Wright's primary motive for lying to police in the interview after the crash was to protect Sebastian Robinson from being prosecuted over the accident. He literally said, "You were trying to protect a mate. Your lies were spontaneous and unplanned." And so it's just an interesting characterization of that first charge. It was found that Matt Wright lied to protect a friend, and then to think, you know, in the years since, the divide that has now transpired between Matt Wright and the pilot and their families, that splitting of this group of friends that we've heard were once sort of thick as thieves at that time, and everything that has transpired since.
Yeah, it's so interesting to see kind of how these groups have kind of drifted apart. You know, Matt Wright saying he saw fuel in the helicopter tank to protect Sebastian Robinson, despite having no idea really how much fuel was in the tanks. He didn't look.
And that's exactly what that first charge is about, because the judge also said that in his view, what Matt Wright said to police, saying that he thought there was roughly half a tank of fuel left in the helicopter, while dishonest, they were consistent with the truth. I mean, the judge said that he believed that the true situation was that there was fuel in the engine when the helicopter crashed. So even though the judge found that Matt Wright potentially said something that was consistent with the truth of the situation, it was the fact that he lied because he didn't know. He didn't have any understanding of how much fuel was in the helicopter when it crashed. It was that fact that led to Matt Wright being charged with attempting to pervert the course of justice.
Yeah, such a kind of incredible situation, and like a great example and demonstration of how the legal system works in a way. You know, it's, you know, you technically what you did was, what you said was true, but because you didn't actually know, it is an offence here. And because you were, yeah, it's just kind of fascinating demonstration there, Ollie. So thank you for kind of taking us through that. I mean, while this legal proceeding has now wrapped up, Matt Wright is in prison. It's not the end of his kind of legal matters, because he was actually back in court for another matter on Monday, right, Ollie?
That's right. Yeah, Matt Wright has a couple of other court cases kicking around. As you say, it's not the end of the road for him when it comes to his various legal battles. He was due to enter a plea on some charges that relate to his personal use of a helicopter out at his rural Darwin property, which him and his family have now actually sold. But this all dates back a couple of years now. Essentially, some neighbours complained because he was landing his chopper on his property and it's all ended up in court. And so that's been something that has been ticking along for quite some time now. I was a little unsure going into that what was going to happen, because of course he's in custody. So essentially his lawyer rocked up on Monday and just said, I'm going to need some more time because my client's in custody and we haven't had a chance to get instructions. So as you say, Stocky, certainly not the end of the road.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, Matt Wright, represented by David Edwardson, KC, throughout the trial where he was accused of attempting to divert the course of justice. Does he have David Edwardson representing him in these matters as well?
Well, actually, the last time that I was in court for those particular charges, the personal helicopter use ones, Matt Wright was representing himself. He didn't have a lawyer. You know, he was the one standing up at the bar table speaking to the judge. On Monday, however, another one of his lawyers who has been representing him, and who's actually the lawyer who was giving the submissions on the day of his sentencing, Luke Officer, was at court and said that he was representing Matt Wright.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, interesting to think about. You know, we're hearing during the defense submissions for his sentencing that he's close to financial ruin. So, I mean, you know, lawyers are expensive. So it's, yeah, interesting to see how those ones progress. Ollie, Matt Wright is still appealing his conviction on the two counts of attempting to pervert the course of justice. So where's that up to? I mean, does he just sit in jail and wait for that to roll through?
Well, I suppose this is really up to him and his lawyers at this point, but certainly it was made clear on the day of his sentencing that this appeal is very much going ahead. You know, we heard literally on the day of his guilty verdict, as Matt Wright was walking out of court, him saying that he intends to fight that guilty verdict. And there has been an appeal notice filed, and we're expecting that to potentially be heard sometime early next year. Of course, that's interesting timing, given that Matt Wright has been sentenced to 5 months. So whether or not he just serves that time and waits for the appeal, or whether he tries to get out in the interim, who knows?
Ollie, thank you so much for coming back onto the case of the Croc Wrangler, taking us through the sentencing of Matt Wright. You know, really kind of dramatic evolution of this story with him being sentenced to this jail time. So, yeah, really appreciate having you here and taking us through it all.
Really appreciate it, Stocky.
And Matt Garrick, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the case of the Croc Wrangler.
Stocky, it's been a pleasure, and Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt. Very festive message to listeners of the case of. We'll be back in your feed on Tuesday next week with an update on the case of Snowtown Parole. We've got all of these little packages to wrap up before the end of the year. And yeah, there's some developments in the review of James Vassakis' parole, one of the Snowtown murderers, that was very surprising and seems to have started a bit of a fight in the South Australian parole system. So have more details with Beck Bryce and James Wakelin in your feed on Tuesday. The Case of the Croc Wrangler is produced by ABC Audio Studios and ABC News. It's reported by Olive Arnold-Lathouris and Matt Garrick and presented by me, Stephen Stockwell. Our supervising producer is Greg Muller and our executive producer is Claire Rawlinson. Thank you to senior lawyer Jasmine Sims for her legal advice throughout the week and to the Northern Territory ABC Newsroom, also Audio Studios manager Eric George. This episode was produced on the land of the Larrakia and Wurundjeri people.